We are now ready to begin the RPR jury charge examination, which is 5 minutes of dictation at 200 words per minute. Ready? Begin. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you have heard the evidence that has been presented by the government and by the defendant, and in a few minutes you will hear the closing arguments of counsel. It is my duty at this time to give you instructions on the law you are required to follow in reaching a verdict in this case. Some of my instructions may apply to every case heard in a court of law, and some of my instructions apply specifically to this case. You are obligated as jurors to follow the law as I explain it to you and to apply that law to the evidence that has been presented in this case. You were all questioned about the rules of law that apply in a criminal case before you were even selected as jurors, and I am confident that you will follow my instructions. You are instructed that it would be a violation of your oath as jurors to base a verdict on any view of the law other than what you are told in my instructions. Every piece of evidence that you are allowed to consider was presented in open court so that both sides could object and so that both sides could present the opposing evidence they might have. It would be a violation of your oath as jurors to base your verdict on any evidence that was not offered here in this court. You are instructed that the evidence consists of sworn testimony of the witnesses and the exhibits received in the trial. You are instructed that you must not consider any of the statements I may have made during the trial. The statements that I make are not evidence. It is my job to rule on the evidence that has been introduced by the parties and to rule on any objections to that evidence. I have no opinion regarding what verdict you should reach in this case. You are the sole judge of the evidence and the weight you will give to that evidence. In arriving at a verdict in this case, you must not be influenced by any bias or prejudice you have. The law does not permit jurors to reach a verdict based on personal feelings for or against any party or witness. The parties in this case are entitled to a fair and just verdict based on the law and evidence presented in this courtroom, and they are counting on you to render that verdict. Bear in mind that the statements and objections of the lawyers during this trial are not evidence. It is the duty of the lawyers to represent their clients and to see that justice is done, but the statements they make are not evidence. The lawyers will attempt to point out evidence they believe was most favorable to their client during the course of the trial. If a lawyer recalls the statement of a witness one way and you recall it another way, then you must rely on your memory of the statements of the witness and not on anything the lawyer says. What the lawyers say is not binding on the jury. You are bound by the testimony of the witnesses and the law contained in these instructions. You are permitted to draw conclusions from the evidence that common sense would allow you to draw as long as those conclusions are based on facts that have been proven by the evidence presented in open court. You have been instructed to consider all of the evidence, but this does not mean you must accept all of the evidence as true. You are the judge of the facts, and it is your responsibility to determine which witnesses were telling the truth and which witnesses were not. When you have decided that a witness was telling the truth, you must then decide how much weight you will give that witness in regard to your final verdict in this case. In choosing who you will believe, you should decide what connection, if any, there is between the witness and the government or the witness and the defendant. You must decide what interest the witness has in the outcome of this case. Most importantly, you must decide whether the witness truly had the ability to see the event that the witness said he saw. Do not base your verdict on the number of witnesses who testified for one side or the other. You may find that what was said by one side or two witnesses deserves more weight than all of the others combined. The two types of evidence you heard in the course of this trial were direct and circumstantial. The direct evidence came in through people who said they saw the crime. The circumstantial evidence was brought in by the officers and the experts for the government. It is your duty to determine what weight you will give to the evidence you received. The first action you should take when you enter into the jury room is to elect a presiding juror. It is the duty of the presiding juror to have this charge read aloud in the jury room. You will then begin to discuss the evidence that you received from the government and the defendant. During your discussions, you should not hesitate to voice your own views, but you should also be willing to listen to what is stated by the other jurors. If you have a question, you must write it down and hand it to the bailiff at the door. You are to continue your deliberations until you have received my answer. After a full and fair discussion of all the evidence, it will be the duty of the presiding juror to call for a vote as to whether the defendant is guilty or not guilty. After you have reached a final verdict, you should notify the bailiff. You will be returned to the courtroom to announce your verdict in open court.